a modern podcast where Chris and Mike talk about TV, movies, superheroes, and everything in between. It's time for Superhero Slate.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Superhero Slate, the show where we run down the latest superhero entertainment news.
We love TV, movies, and superheroes, so let's talk it all out.
My name's Chris Dillard.
And my name's Mike Royer.
And on today's show, we talk about Daredevil, Marvel's Age of Ultron, Angelina Jolie, Netflix's Legend of Zelda, and more.
Ooh, it's going to be fun.
It's a big show for a short week.
Yeah, no kidding. And I felt like for the week in general, besides this Daredevil trailer, it was a little bit light.
Yeah, there was really nothing big going on. No huge reveals on like TV shows or anything. No movie announcements other than the Daredevil trailer, yeah.
Yeah, I guess we're just spoiled every other week.
Yeah. 2015's been exciting. We've had something to cover almost weekly.
Yeah, it's just going to ramp up even more once this DC universe really starts going.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, once we get 20 next year is going to be intense.
Oh man, it's a good thing that the good people out there have a show like this to keep them informed.
Such good people. Such good, our constituents, if you would,
yeah,
of Superhero Slate. We got some good feedback this week from Quentin. You know him.
Oh, yeah, our number one super fan. He's going to like this shout-out.
I know. big kudos to Quentin for making my day the other day on Twitter.
Yeah, he says he wants to come on the show so he can rant about something. Gets his jimmies get rustled every time he watches the show.
I hate when my jimmies are rustled. Which is funny you said that, because I said that last night playing Grand Theft Auto Online.
Oh, yeah, your jimmies get rustled?
I did. I was telling people my jimmies were getting rustled. And I was like, I haven't said that in years.
Oh, man, I finally got that game just because I've been living out here in L.A. for a couple of years, and I was like, I should probably get this game that's basically built around this city. I started playing it, and it's so soothing to be able to drive on the highway just however the hell I want, just driving through cars, plowing people over. I mean, I really don't do a lot of the missions. I mean, I was expecting that. That's how every Grand Theft Auto game works for me. I just get sidetracked, and I never beat the game. But it's pretty fun. Just crashing in the cars, getting my road rage out of me.
Oh, I'm glad you're you have something therapeutic to get that out.
Yeah, if any of you guys want to ride in and tell us what Russell's or Jimmy's, just go to Superhero Hype. No, not Hype.
Oh my gosh. I did it last week, you did it this week.
The names are too close, and I was even thinking about it. I was like, don't mess it up. SuperheroSlate.com. Go there, and we got a little contact form. You can contact us and let us know it's Russell and your Jimmy's. Maybe it's us keep messing up our own URL.
Yeah, if not, you know, you can just write to either of us at Twitter.
Yeah, that's true. We got those Twitter handles. We'll tell you all about those at the end of the show.
Yeah. All right. Well, enough rambling, I think. Let's get into this Daredevil trailer, which I've probably watched 5 times this morning alone.
Oh, yes. I want to talk about this.
Okay. So, Daredevil coming out April 10th on Netflix, right?
Yes. Give us a little bit of a rundown of how the trailer goes down.
All right. So, this Daredevil trailer comes on. It's very dark and blue tinted. I don't know if you notice this. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it opens with something very interesting. You know, Matt Murdock going to confession.
Mm-hmm.
So this is actually going to be bringing in, you know, Catholicism and, you mm-hmm. know, some character with a sense of religion other than Captain America.
Yeah, big part of Daredevil's character.
Yeah, huge part in coming in and, you know, not confessing really for what he's done, but for what he's about to do, he says. Mm-hmm. Which I don't know what part of, like, when in the 13 episodes this takes place, but it seems like it's maybe him, you know, trying to be forgiven for something that may be his last battle he sees.
Yeah, or maybe like murder. Maybe there's actually going to be like some serious like death in this show.
That brings me to my next point. As soon as the trailer was released, we'll come back to this trailer. Netflix put a description up saying it's rated TV-MA, which is TV mature.
That's good. That's good.
Yeah, it's essentially R. Like, movies are rated R, TV's rated MA, so it's the same mm-hmm. thing. So we're going to see something not very nice and friendly in this show.
which is going to be great.
Oh, yeah. It's something definitely a different take for Marvel. I don't think we're... There was no humor in this trailer.
No, yeah. That's what I noticed when I watched it last, too. There's not even an inkling of it. It's just so brooding. It's so dark.
And it, I think that's cool, too. Someone pointed out when we watched this trailer, we see Matt Murdock getting out of bed, shirtless, of course. Mm-hmm. He's got scars and bruises all over him.
Mm-hmm.
And then the very last shot is, you know, him standing up in the rain and blood gushing from his mouth.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that's something someone pointed out. You know, Matt Murdock, Daredevil, he has no superpowers, per se. He's not super strong. He's not super resilient. He just has enhanced senses.
Mm-hmm.
So, how he uses these enhanced senses helps him, you know, get through these battles, but he takes a beating and he stays down. It's his sheer willpower that keeps him going.
Yeah, one thing that's pretty crazy, I always thought, well, at least how they play it off in a lot of the cartoons or comics, is that Daredevil's, like, heightened sense is actually, like, a superpower. Like, they don't seem to portray that any just blind person could do what he does. But I was listening to a crazy story maybe about 2 weeks ago where they were interviewing a blind person who could ride a bike, and he was able to ride the bike by making clicking noises with his mouth, and he was using that to hear, like, the echolocation of these clicks that he was making. And I was like, holy crap, this is a real-life Daredevil. How are people not talking about Daredevil all over this story? So it actually kind of brings a little bit more realism to his character, and it's just crazy to think. I had no idea you could actually do that.
Oh, yeah. And I think something cool, too, is, you know, when we saw the Ben Affleck version back in 2003, like, he had, mm-hmm. like, kind of like a, like you said, the sonar sense. Like, but we saw sonar when we went to Daredevil Vision. Well, this one, Daredevil Vision, like, when he looks and is listening to somebody, it reminds me a lot of, like, the Assassin's Creed games we talked about.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it focuses, like, you still see Murdoch and / Daredevil, but, like, in the background, you see the person he's listening to, like, homing in on.
Mm-hmm.
And everything else is kind of blurry around him. Like, it's something I've seen in video games before, but nothing I've ever seen come to life in a show. And how they show his powers, I think, is going to really define the show.
Yeah, I think it'll be an interesting little visual effect, the way they convey just kind of the way he interacts with the environment around him. We have a very brief moment where he's fighting with his staff. It looks like it's broken up into two pieces. They look to be white to me. So I don't know, maybe if he's just picking up random stuff off the ground, or if he's actually getting some sort of, like, staff made, or what he's doing there, if it's just his walking stick. But he seems to be beating some bad guys up with that, so that's going to be rad.
Yeah, they remind me of those sticks Mockingbird uses on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Oh, yeah, a little bit.
Those two, I don't know the technical term for those, just two rods, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Which was definitely, like you said, the way he was beating people with those was kind of intense in his own manner.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think anyone that watches this is going to realize that this is going to be going well beyond the scope of maturity for the cinematic universe and even the TV, not universe, but, you know, what's going on with their ABC shows. You know, I expect to get a little bit of humor in the show, but I think when it comes down to their trailer, they really want to stand out. They want to say, this is Daredevil. He is a beast. He's violent. He's going to really, really mess some people up. Prepare yourself.
Yeah, there's something else I noticed. Like, you know, he throws somebody out of a glass window onto a car hood, it looks like.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he's afraid to kill. That's something, you know, DC's always struggled with. Batman doesn't kill. Superman mm-hmm. shouldn't kill.
Mm-hmm.
It's always been a contended, like, something there. But, like, in Marvel movies, people die.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're not afraid to show that, you know, yes, people will get killed.
Mm-hmm.
And, It brings a more human element to Daredevil, which, you know, it shows he's not a superhuman. He's not one of these high-powered guys. He doesn't have a super soldier formula in him.
Mm-hmm.
He's just a lawyer, which we didn't see any lawyer scenes. We didn't see him in a courtroom at all.
Oh, I'm so sorry. you didn't get to see him practicing.
Definitely didn't do that. We didn't even see the Kingpin's face.
Yeah, I think that is kind of the biggest stone left unturned, is kind of the villain arc that we're going to be taking over this season. They're relatively lucky where the Kingpin is a character that's going to have lots of other goons underneath them. So Daredevil's going to have a lot of people to punch in the face, which is going to be great. But, you know, they're not going to have to go to any sort of crazy extremes to explain, like, a supervillain or his motives and stuff. You know, everyone kind of understands where, like, a mob boss is coming from. And the Kingpin doesn't necessarily have any powers. He's just a big dude that can just give a beating and take a beating. So I think this just grounds the show even more. And we'll really just kind of feel the raw vibe of it.
Yeah, the two times we did see the Kingpin, who in the comics, you know, is a boxer, and we definitely saw it in the first film, who's one of the strongest points, I think, in the first film, actually, Michael Clarke Duncan playing the Kingpin. It's one of those, you know, switched race castings, but I had no issues with it.
Oh, yeah, me neither.
He nailed that. But something interesting about, you know, we didn't see the Kingpin's face. We saw him with his back to a white painting of some sort, which is interesting. That's definitely a very ominous shot. But one at the end was, you know, where Matt Murdock's face in a close-up, and it's like he hears something coming to his left, so he turns, and as the camera moves with him, out in the background, in out of focus, is the Kingpin coming towards him as Matt Murdock, not Daredevil. And I want to know what's going down with that scene.
Well, I'm sure their paths will cross. If he's a lawyer in Hell's Kitchen, I'm sure he has to deal with a lot of the scum down there. Hopefully we'll get a little bit of, what is it, Coolio that was in the last movie?
Coolio?
Yeah, there's, in the, I don't know why they thought they needed this, but in the Daredevil movie, there was a director's cut that had a lot of, some 90s rapper, and I don't remember if it was... if it was Coolio or Busta Rhymes, I don't know. I can't remember who it was. It was just someone who has kind of faded into obscurity by now. But everyone always talks about that.
Wow. Oh, it was so, Coolio, just as a fact. Okay. Some Coolio. That's crazy.
Whenever you go silent for a second, I was just like, I think he's digging this up. He's digging up
the I wanted to know. I had to know. Because on Nerd Traffic, whenever I first launched it, one of the first things I did was rewatch Daredevil and write a new review of it. And it was just, there was so much dirt to dig at it. It's hard to pay attention to these other, like, smaller details that just don't even matter. But it's definitely interesting. I think the only thing we heard from Kingpin, going back to that, as someone said, do not say his name.
I do remember hearing that, and I wasn't sure if were they talking about not saying the Kingpin's name, or was the Kingpin saying don't say Daredevil?
That's the thing. It can go either way, because you know, if you give, you know, something a name, it kind of like builds up the hype and the legend of it. So I could see the Kingpin saying like don't call him that, because that's calling him Daredevil would build fear. But at the same time, calling Wilson Fisk the Kingpin would allude that he actually is the mob boss that's running. That's a great point you bring up there. That's good.
Yeah, I mean, I think I'd really like to see how the themes and just the overall feeling of this show translate into the other three Defender series that we're going to get. You know, I'm curious if they're going to go the Marvel route and try to do each series maybe a little differently with a little bit of a feel. And then when they come together, maybe it'll be really interesting to see all these four different characters from different storylines with different vibes. Like maybe I think it'd be kind of funny to see maybe a Iron Fist or Luke Cage maybe telling Daredevil to stop being so serious and brooding all the time. That would be kind of funny.
Yeah, Daredevil's kind of like a blind Batman, so I could definitely see that. They're like, hey, loosen up, dog.
Yeah, and we finally got to see that suit he has in action. And I think eventually, either maybe in season two or later in the series, he's going to get a full, legit Daredevil suit. But I think this ninja suit that he has that's been adapted from the comics is really cool right now. And I think it really sets in well with a superhero beginning his career. You know, he doesn't have the connections to go make a crazy suit. You know, he's just going to grab some cloth and some rags and just get all ninja'd.
Yeah, definitely. And I freeze framed that shot that had him on the rooftop,
mm-hmm.
and you actually get to see red lines running down the side of it.
Mm-hmm.
So I definitely, someone I know who was on set during the production talked to me about this suit, and he definitely saw those red lines, and they definitely are more prominent in that shot than anything else.
Hmm.
And I could definitely also, when I think about it, see him getting the fuller suit towards the end of the series, because we talked about him being vulnerable, right? He's mm-hmm. just a human. He might need something a little more padding to take on, you know, maybe bullets or more bad guys later, mm-hmm. which could come into that final suit like we talked about.
Yeah. Either way, I think this trailer was great. I'm super excited for April 10th, right?
Yes, April 10th, yeah. All 13 episodes on Netflix.
Yeah, I'm obviously going to be spending 13 hours on my couch watching this.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. Expect us to talk about that on the Sunday following.
Yeah, it might feel a little bit like homework, but it's going to be the best homework ever.
Yeah. Which brings me to my next Netflix show. Our first photos of Kristen Ritter as Jessica Jones came online this week. They are filming the show this month.
And guess what, people? Jessica Jones looks just like a random person on the street.
Yeah, whenever I told Mike we're going to talk about this, he's like, what do you say? It looks like the paparazzi or something you'd see on TMZ?
Yeah, it just looks like a TMZ photo of Kristen Ritter. I mean, this is no hate towards the show. It's just like, this isn't much of a promotional image. At least when we got the first shot of Matt Murdock, at least he had like the iconic Daredevil red glasses on and like the cane. So you're like, yeah, that's Daredevil. It's like, this is just Kristen Ritter on the sidewalk.
Yeah, it could totally be confused for Kristen Ritter on the sidewalk. I agree. But something to, you know, kind of point out, it was a lighter, everything seemed lighter in that show, like whatever they were filming.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Daredevil looks like it was filmed in like night. They're mm-hmm. filming that during the day.
Yeah, I mean, I think that just definitely just goes to show that the Daredevil character, you know, that's where he lives and breathes in the night at Hell's Kitchen. I think me and a lot of people out there, majority of this people just don't really know Jessica Jones that much. I've only really read her when she's been in group issues of comics. So I'm going to be looking forward to getting to know this character a little bit. You know, they're really going to have to dig in. They always have to dig in on characters on any sort of television series, you know, to really flush out the characters, because that's what's great about television. So I'll be interested to learn a lot about Jessica Jones during this series.
Mm-hmm. She's a pretty obscure character. Only fans of, you know, her series Alias, not related to the TV show,
mm-hmm.
would know her. But I think that brings up to a second, like the point you brought up earlier, is they're going to have to find a different... They're gonna have a different genre for her,
mm-hmm.
which, you know, is gonna be like, you know, a PI, private investigator, mm-hmm. maybe something close to True Detective. I don't know. For her, rather than, you know, Daredevil is, you know, lawyer by day, vigilante by night. So I hope they do something, a different genre with the show, like you said earlier.
Well, I don't know. Either way, I mean, if this Daredevil show is as awesome as it is, just being bloody and brutal, I mean, I would be okay with them carrying it over to these other series. I mean, it kind of makes sense. They're all kind of in that shared universe of New York City. You know, they're all going to be coalescing into one series. So, I mean, if it all wants to be just dark and broody and gritty and ground level for this whole Defender series, I'm okay with it, but I'm definitely open to a little bit of a lightheartedness. It's always nice to get some of that stuff come through, and Marvel's always really good at it.
Yeah, I wouldn't. I'm definitely not expecting lightheartedness, like you said, out of these. But I just definitely think we're gonna see a lot more different lighting schemes when they film it, and that's the mm-hmm. filmmaker me coming out.
Yeah,
but
and you know, one thing I've been thinking about. I always think about this when it comes to like release dates or how people in a group are ranked. Like, do you think they're throwing Jessica Jones in between Daredevil and Luke Cage, maybe just because they don't think she's going to be as strong, or maybe the series won't be represented as well? Because I mean, I think it's perfect, because I have a feeling, I don't know if it's been officially announced, but I have a feeling that Iron Fist is going to be the last of the series, because I think Daredevil, to start it off, perfect. Everyone knows Daredevil. He's awesome. He's super cool. And then people that don't know Iron Fist are going to get to know him, and he's like basically karate, kung fu. His whole series is going to be like an action movie every episode, beating people up with like crazy magic karate stuff. So it seems like they're going to stick the middle, you know, kind of with more real characters. You know, their superpowers just seem to be strength.
Yeah, well, I think that's the thing. Jessica Jones actually, in the comics, is the only one with, like, she has superpowers, like, you know, on par, like, fighting, like, Miss Marvel or something.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think by putting her second, they have less faith in it. I think, if anything, they would put it third, because they need to build off of, you know, hype of the other ones.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they treat them any differently. I think this is just how the story progression has to go. Mm-hmm. Because in Jessica Jones, they're introducing Luke Cage for his own series, which is right afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
So I think just like how they have to introduce these characters. So going from a lawyer to a private investigator who's helping a convict. And I'm not really sure, you know, how Iron Fist fits into that yet. But I think it's just a natural progression of the stories.
Yeah, that's a good point. And, you know, it brings me to another point. You think we'll see these characters cross over before the Defender series? I mean, like you brought up Luke Cage and Jessica Jones, you know, basically peas in a pod when it comes to Marvel. So
it's definitely been confirmed that Luke Cage is going to be in Jessica Jones.
Oh, okay.
Not as like a full secondary character, but possibly like they're going to introduce him there in an episode or two before he comes into his own series.
Yeah, so that'll be kind of cool. We'll kind of see this universe coalesce before we get to the Defender series, which is something that I think is going to be really cool to talk about in general, because we don't know much about it. We don't know if it's going to be like a mini series of like four episodes. We don't know if it's just going to kind of be like a Netflix TV movie, or if it's going to be like half of a season, or maybe even a full season.
It's four episodes, I'll tell you now.
So it's been confirmed.
Yes, it is okay. Four episodes. But I don't, like, it could be four episodes. Make if they say episodes are 45 minutes, maybe it's 2 hour and a half long movies.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know how they're going to just deliver that to us yet.
Oh, okay. Well, either way, I think it's going to be really cool to look at my Netflix queue and see all these original series pop up with their artwork. That's going to be really cool.
Yeah,
I'm a sucker for just that kind of, like, that stuff doesn't really matter on the surface to most people, but, like, it's just going to be cool to see that stuff in my instant queue.
Yeah, well, before we end this and go on to something else, I just want to say Netflix and Disney inked a deal, right? Like, they're an exclusive streaming pact. Like,
mm-hmm.
So we're going to start seeing, like, not till like, 2016, some stuff is going to trickle, but you're going to be able to get all your Disney like movies, like Marvel stuff,
mm-hmm.
on Netflix in 2016 when all these shows start hitting. So you're going to see an influx of Marvel stuff all over Netflix all at once.
Oh, man, Disney's got all that money. I wouldn't be surprised if in the next couple years we see a news article of Disney wanting to buy Netflix. That would be crazy.
Yeah. So... yeah, that's cool. So, yeah, Jessica Jones, Netflix, Daredevil stuff coming right along. So that's good to see.
Yeah, I look forward to it, guys.
Something else, while we're going to talk about Marvel, we're going to cover a couple Age of Ultron bits here.
Yeah.
In the Great Britain, including England and Ireland and Scotland, I guess, mm-hmm. Age of Ultron moved up a full week. It's April 23rd when it's coming out there.
You guys are so lucky. I don't understand.
If we have anyone there listening... we're jealous.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty surprising that that studios don't do worldwide releases at the same time, considering how vicious the internet is when it comes to spoilers. I mean, how I'm just gonna have to stay away from the internet for like a week or something. I don't know.
Yeah, it's gonna be. I don't know. Like, I don't think we're gonna get any ruins, and I'm not gonna, you know, try to pirate it early, because that would just ruin it. But, like, I'm hoping, like, Marvel has faith in this movie to push it up, you know, earlier in foreign countries. So hopefully maybe we'll see it come out on, like, a Tuesday here at midnight or something.
Yeah, I'm hoping. I think that's a whole side of the industry that I don't really understand, is these foreign releases, Yeah, so I don't know why it needs to come out a week earlier there. I believe, if I remember correctly, the first Avengers movie came out like a week early in Australia. I remember right. Yeah. So and I don't really remember getting any spoilers from that. So maybe people on the planet Earth just aren't assholes and they just don't want to spoil everything for everyone else.
We can definitely hope so. I saw the Avengers 3 weeks early at Chicago for a promotion they had there.
Oh yeah, I remember that.
I was at C2E2 and they just had it.
I was very jealous.
Yes, you should have been. Seeing it there, like they only had a limited number of tickets. And I was able to get on that, like, when it came up on Facebook right away. So I was really soaked. I was already going to be there. I got there and waited, like, 4 hours outside in line to get in. And seeing it with those people, people were crying when Coulson died. Like, these are the real fanatics that you want to see.
Those are the super fans, for sure.
And I got back and went to the convention, and I had a guy there, and he was like, tell me about it. I'm like, no. I'm not telling you anything about this movie. Only thing I did give him, though, he begged me for this, who the person at the end of the credits was.
Okay.
Which really doesn't affect the movie.
Yeah. So. I mean, I want to give everyone out there a little bit of advice. When it comes to seeing just any movie in theaters, me and my wife have obviously a pet peeve. Everyone has this pet peeve of people talking in the movies. Or I know you have the pet peeve of people with their loud movie snacks. Which is something that might be a little bit harder for you to avoid. Best thing to do is if you want to see a movie, like if you want to see Age of Ultron the best way possible, don't be some fuddy-duddy that's just like, oh, I'm not going to go to the movies. I don't like all the loud kids and everything. I'll just wait for it or I'll download it or something like that. Don't do any of that. What you want to go is you want to look up your city and you want to find the very first showing, like the very first showing. There's going to be a midnight showing. Sometimes they even extend midnight way earlier to like 8 o'clock p.m. You want to see the very, very first showing because the people in that theater are going to be the diehard fans. They're going to be the people that don't say a single word. They actually turn off their cell phones for this movie and they just sit back and they enjoy it. And then the best part about it is when stuff cool happens in the movie, people cheer and they clap and they hoop and holler in a good way. And that's the best part of seeing these first showings for sure.
And if you can't do those, Sunday mornings, the very first showing on a Sunday morning, a lot of people are in church.
That's a good idea.
Your theater's probably going to be pretty empty.
That's a good idea. But I don't know. I think even the pull of Age of Ultron might keep people from going to church.
It's true. I might see it several times that weekend.
So people in England, look forward to that early release. We're jealous.
Yes, and don't tell us anything.
Shut your mouth.
Second up, Marvel released some screenshots from the last trailer we saw. We talked about that. They actually ID'd the image of Andy Serkis as Ulysses Klaue in the film, which we kind of, like you said, we kind of knew.
Yeah, I mean, it was pretty obvious. I mean, the character has a very, I don't want to say cartoonish look, but he has a very identifiable look.
Stereotypical safari guy.
Yeah, I mean, he didn't have the hat on or anything, but I mean, you could do, I mean, there are side-by-side shots up all over the internet of him next to, like, the Earth's Mightiest Hero version of him, I believe.
Yes.
Yeah, and it looked identical to him. So this basically just kind of confirms that we're going to get a little bit of Wakanda mixed in with this movie. Maybe not playing a huge role, but enough to really bring in Black Panther.
Yeah, and definitely. And Ulysses Klaue, for people who aren't familiar, he went to Wakanda, the African nation, which Black Panther's from, to get vibranium, which is what Captain America's shield's made out of.
Mm-hmm.
And what we're assuming Ultron's body will be made out near the end of the film because it's nearly indestructible.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of interesting to see what they'll do with him. He's not like a huge player. I mean, he's big enough to maybe play a villain in like an episode of a cartoon show or maybe pop up for like one issue, but he's not necessarily a mastermind as far as I know.
Yeah, later in the comics, his body turns to pure sound. His body is made of pure sound waves. Which is interesting.
Where did that come from?
Yeah, I don't know. But we're gonna talk about Black Panther later, so we won't harp on this too much. But Andy Serkis is Ulysses Klaue.
Yeah, so just get you a little bit more excited for April 23rd, people in England. Ugh, still jealous.
Someone's totes jelly. lastly, on Age of Ultron, if you saw the end of Winter Soldier, right? It's been long enough. I think we can tell people what happened. The Hydra has the scepter from the Avengers,
mm-hmm.
and you're using it to create superhumans, such as the Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver.
Now, I don't know. I might disagree with you. I wouldn't necessarily say that they're creating superhumans with it. I think they're going to use it to control superhumans they already found.
Nope. That's where I'm going to stop you right there. There's Marvel has an Infinite comic, which is digital only. It's made for digital, called The Sceptered Isle. It bridges the gap between Avengers, Winter Soldier, and beginning of Age of Ultron.
See, now you led me on. I did.
So I apologize. You can go to Marvel.com comics, get this comic for $2.99. It's not much. You've seen these scenes. It's drawing of scenes like, Black Widow turning off the portal in Avengers. It's the end scene of Winter Soldier redrawn. But it tells about how they're using the scepter to give people quote unquote power to fight against national threats.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't really ruin Age of Ultron. Like, there's nothing like we didn't already know. So other than Mike here, who apparently thought it didn't give them their powers.
I don't know. I guess we kind of have to bow down to an official Marvel digital comic, but I'm not gonna adhere to it. I'm just gonna go into the movie expecting to see whatever, because that just doesn't sound very cool to me. Yeah. I mean, the scepter seems like it's like a MacGuffin stick. It's like, oh, it can just basically do anything we want.
Well, what's really they lead us on in the comic is there's a scene like, oh, we found this connection between the cosmic cube / tesseract and the scepter, but the person who discovers it gets shot before he can tell us. So I think we're gonna learn about this in Age of Ultron. I think we're gonna be kind of left in a state of limbo or our own little thoughts here until the movie. But I think that was a tease saying, we're going to talk about this. We're not telling you now because we're going to talk about this.
Yeah. Well, I mean, either way, we all kind of knew that Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver were going to somehow have to be reinvented. Marvel Studios is not allowed to use mutants. So they were going to have to come up with a way for these people to get their powers. I mean, we're kind of finally getting in to the Marvel Universe where the superheroes don't necessarily have, science-based powers, basically like science accidents or science experiments. We're going to get into a little bit of magic with Doctor Strange. We're getting into stuff from space, which is, very fantastical. So
very Thor.
Yeah, so we're in that weird range of just like, they can't be mutants, so what do we do? They probably don't want to make fans mad, but I honestly wouldn't be surprised if they pivoted away from whatever was in this digital comic, because like you said, it was digital and it was free, so they're trying to get it
It's not free. It's $2.99. like, it costs money.
It
is confirmed as canon online. Like, it's not like they wouldn't create it. Every other prequel comic is considered canon.
Well, I still think maybe they won't hold too true to it. But either way, we all knew that they were not going to be mutants, so they're going to have to come up with some way. So they obviously couldn't just like find two random superpowered people and not explain how they got their powers. So if it's the staff, I guess that's okay. I mean, I would have liked something a little bit better.
Well, they say that not everyone lives. Like, they had a bunch of people quote unquote volunteer. They die because they can't handle it. These are just happen to be the only people who survived and got abilities. So it's not like they're creating an army because not everyone can handle it. So
didn't we kind of cover this in Iron Man 3? Isn't this basically Extremis?
Oh, not even close.
But we covered them not living and living because they're not strong. I don't know. Either way, I don't know how I feel about this. This is news to me. I didn't read this. You're just laying this all on me, man.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Anyway, We'll get on to the next thing, but that's if you're looking for something to bridge Avengers, Winter Soldier, and Age of Ultron, separate aisle, digital-only comic.
Yeah, we'll see. I'll have to read that and get back to you.
So, next up, you've seen Arrow. I don't watch Arrow. You know Arrow. They showed the Atom suit for the first time.
Yes, they did. So, we got this suit. It's going to be powered by a very, very rich man. We don't really know how it's going to fit into the universe quite yet.
Are you describing Iron Man?
Some people compared the suit a little bit to Iron Man when they revealed it. I'm going to fit that in there with our featured image. So if you guys are too lazy to Google or just didn't see it, you can at least see it there. But it looks pretty cool. It kind of reminds me a little bit of like maybe a futuristic football player a little bit. But I read that some people out there really like the look of it. I don't know too much about the Atom. I think, like people out there know right now, we're not huge into DC. We know enough to talk about it. We know enough to get our hands dirty. But I think when it comes to someone like the Atom, not too familiar with. But I'm looking forward to it. This guy is basically going to have an Iron Man-esque suit. And we're going to see how that works into an Arrow universe that doesn't really have too many superheroes. I mean, we have the Flash, but he's technically in a different city right now, and they have crossed over, and I really enjoyed their crossover episode. But usually Arrow deals with just kind of a little bit more brawling. You know, they literally deal with like bows and arrows and punching people in the face or hitting people with sticks and stuff. So I heard rumors of possibly the next CW series maybe being an Atom series. So that would kind of make a little bit of sense. Maybe his suit's a little too overpowered. You know, maybe move him into his own show, get him out of the Arrow universe into his own little city where he's running around.
Yeah. Well, what's funny is I've read DC. I'm a Green Lantern fan through the War of Light series and Black Knight Adams. And he's essentially Ant-Man. Mm-hmm. He's DC's Ant-Man, so he shrinks. Mm-hmm. The Atom suit lets him shrink down to, you know, size of atoms. But his name is the Blue Atom rather than this acronym of ATOM. I would like to see, you know, something more tech-based. Like you said, well, like a tech-based TV show.
Well, they specifically, in I think the last episode, he talks about how he wants to shoot lasers. If there is shrinking involved, I think there's also going to be lasers involved. Yeah, see, I don't know. I really don't know much about the Atom at all. I didn't even know he shrank.
Yeah, that's kind of what's been, like, I know that much about the Atom that he shrinks, and they really haven't been playing on that fact too much with this suit.
Uh-huh.
So I don't watch Arrow, but I want to see what they do with the Atom suit. It looks cool. I think it looks awesome.
Yeah, I think whenever you get a break in your schedule, maybe in the summer when there's not too many TV series going on, you should try to catch up with Arrow. I know some people don't like it too much, but I've heard this is always one of those hard things where you're trying to get people to watch a TV series. You're just like, okay, you want to stick with it through like the first 12 episodes, and then it starts to get real good. I don't necessarily think that with the show, but I've heard some other people say that, and I think that's kind of along the same lines with S.H.I.E.L.D. For you. You know, you just got to stick with it, and it gets good. But I think Arrow's good. I think Flash is good. If Atom gets his own series, I think it'll be good. Because, I mean, every time I watch the show, my wife doesn't really watch it, but I'm always like, babe, Superman's on TV. Superman's on TV. And she's just like, shut up.
That's funny. Talking about, you know, upcoming, you know, DC shows based on DC characters, they're talking about, I think it was Stars or Showtime, but the show Lucifer pilot is greenlit.
Mm-hmm. Tell me a little bit about Lucifer.
Lucifer, Satan, the devil. Mm-hmm. Neil Gaiman wrote a series called Sandman. We've all heard of Sandman.
Mm-hmm.
Lucifer was one of the devils, the rulers of hell.
Mm-hmm.
And he gives it up and goes to L.A. and opens a bar, a piano bar called Lux. And that's kind of where the series takes place, the comic series, and hopefully, you know, the TV show. I think it'd be a different take on it. I've always, me and my friend Brian of Comic Guy, we've talked about a series where writing a comic where it's the bar of superheroes. Like, there's one bartender for all the superheroes and, like, all the stuff he has to deal with. And I think this would be kind of interesting to see, you know, you know, this bar is owned by the devil, and what kind of goes on at this piano bar owned by the devil.
Yeah, that would be kind of cool. I mean, and it makes sense to kind of start drawing from Sandman. Sandman is on my list of shame right now of stories that I haven't read yet, but everyone will tell you to read this book if they've read it. It's basically, you know, it's going to be in like the top 10 of graphic novels for basically everyone out there that reads graphic novels. So I really got to get around to reading this.
Yeah, I've read it. I've read most of it. I enjoy it. I know a lot of people who don't read normal comics really enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe we'll see Lucifer pilot just from that base alone.
Yeah, and I mean, I think that kind of goes to, you're talking about like Stars or Showtime or something like that. We're starting to notice a lot of these not necessarily fringe networks, but networks that you wouldn't expect to have TV superhero series are kind of starting to reach out there and get them. And I think that just goes to show you how profitable and how good it is for networks to have like rock star series, like just one TV series.
It's all Hollywood buzzwords. So yeah. So there's that. Before we get off our DC thing here, we got a bit of news, sad news for DC comic readers this week.
Okay.
The New 52, mm-hmm. which was about 3 years ago, 4 years ago.
Yeah, I think it was about 3 or 4. Yeah.
Is ending in June.
Which is crazy because this is the first I'm hearing about it today.
Yeah, yeah. Stan, I don't know, it's not Stan, something DiDio, I don't know his first name, the mm-hmm. head of DC. They have this event going on this summer called Convergence, mm-hmm. which is essentially all the universes blending together, which sounds an awful lot like Marvel's Secret Wars.
Yeah.
It's ironic because they plan these 3 or 4 years in advance, so it's not like they, like, woke up and did the same thing, like, oh, if they're doing this, we're going to announce ours at the same time.
Uh-huh.
The company said the New 52, as we know, is ending, mm-hmm. but that does not bring back the old continuity pre-New 52.
Oh, yeah.
So they're both essentially ending, and going forward, they say the company is to focus on story, not continuity, which I think is going to irk some longtime fans.
Yeah, well, I think this goes to show you kind of the trend of what happens when these TV series and movies become so much more profitable and popular than the comic books. I don't know if it's good or bad or if it's sad, but you kind of notice the same thing when Marvel's universe really started to kick up. You know, they came out with Marvel Now, and if you notice the Marvel Now titles that were coming out, you know, they tried to bring stuff out along the same time that a movie was coming out. You know, they're not necessarily trying to mirror like a Thor comic with the Thor movies, but you know, they're obviously trying to, you know, get people into comics that like the movies, and they're trying to draw those similarities. So I could see DC getting ready to do that. I mean, they're just going to start expanding out this universe here in the next couple years. So they're probably going to want a nice clean line that can kind of run congruently with the movies. You know, oh, we got a Green Lantern movie coming out, let's make sure we reboot Green Lantern. I don't necessarily think it's the best thing to do in the world. I kind of thought that's what they were doing with the New 52. You know, all new stories, 52 titles. I thought that was the point of the New 52. But I kind of thought that was the point of Marvel Now as well. They just, I mean, I don't know. Maybe this is just what we see only being in our late 20s, you know, there's probably people out there who've been reading comics for 40 plus years and be like, they've been doing this shit my entire life. They end universes, they start them, all they're trying to do is sell these books. But if DC says they're doing it for the story, I mean, that's what you read comics for, so I don't know.
Well, I think there's a difference here. Marvel Now didn't erase the history.
That's true.
DC's New 52 erased everything before it, so it was essentially, it was told, but it no longer continued. Mm-hmm. Marvel's Now was just another rebranding, per se, of their comics. Because we had an Avengers title, right? And we've always had Avengers titles beforehand as well.
Mm-hmm.
So it was kind of, it's not a reboot, it was just a rebranding. And this is, I don't know if it's going to be a reboot or how they're going to work without having continuity, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, like, are they just going to be like, you know, select miniseries from now on? Like, oh, this guy's got Superman for 6 issues. He's going to tell his story. The next one doesn't have to acknowledge that one even existed.
Uh-huh.
If there's no continuity. So I don't know how they're going to do it. I don't read a lot of DC now. Like I said, Green Lantern through War of Light, and that was pre-New 52. Mm-hmm. But we'll definitely... I'm going to keep my eye on this and see what happens when everything kind of settles down more in the summer.
Yeah, I mean, I would definitely take bets that this change of focus, this pivot, is 100% due to their cinematic universe that they're starting. These comics really need to rely on the popularity of the movies. I mean, it's obvious that the comic industry is not dying because these characters are starting these crazy franchises. I mean, I haven't necessarily looked up the sales of comic books, but I think the books themselves, they couldn't hurt. It wouldn't hurt them to get a little bit of help. So I think that's what they're trying to do.
Yeah, and that's the funny thing is, like, some of these titles coming out are, like, not movie or TV related, though.
Mm-hmm.
There's one called Prez coming out, just P-R-E-Z.
Is that the Perez Hilton comic book story that we've all been hoping for?
No, not Perez, just Prez. Like, short for President.
Oh, okay.
It was a short series from the 70s, originally in the 70s. It had, you know, Neil Gaiman, Ed Brubaker, Frank Miller on board, actually. Mm-hmm. But it's coming back again. So I don't know what they're doing exactly. Another one's called We Are Robin. So it's like, I don't know if like there's like a Robin gang or something. I don't know. Yeah. Either way, we don't know. We'll keep it. I'll keep my eye on it.
Yeah, it sounds like we're going to find out June, July, and the summer. So that'll be interesting.
Yeah, speaking of comics, just another quick top here. Marvel announced A-Force this week, which is an all-female Avengers team coming out later this year.
They're Ghostbustering it.
Yeah, they've done all-female teams before. Okay, like there was Defenders. The last Defenders was all-female. I own one of those issues. But they're interested in all-female Avengers team, bringing back some characters like Dazzler from like the 80s disco character. And they're creating a new character called Singularity, which is like a cosmic power character we don't know a lot about. But I think it's a pretty bold step. It's written by G. Willow Wilson, who does the current Miss Marvel series, which is critically acclaimed. So I don't think it was done lightly, and I'm excited to see where A-Force goes. I don't know if I'll read it, but...
Well, I think everyone out there should not be getting attached to anything, because I have a feeling when the Secret Wars really kicks up, half of these people are just going to be dying. They're going to be falling into black holes, going to be getting stomped in the face by multiple different versions of Hulks. So hopefully this team doesn't come together and just get all killed in one fell swoop.
See, that's the thing. I don't know when it comes out post-Secret Wars or not.
Okay.
It says it's a spring crossover, which kind of coincides with Secret Wars.
Yeah, get worried, people. They're going to be killing off people left and right.
Yeah, I don't think so, but that's for another day when we get closer to Secret Wars.
Yeah.
Next up, Black Panther concept art was posted on Instagram.
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now.
It's very close to the original concept art we saw during the Phase 3 announcement.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty much a close-up, but it shows like how they line his necklace in the comics that has like looks like teeth on it into the suit more. And it's like vibranium lined. If you look at it, it's got close vibranium metal like linings around the suit.
Yeah, something with it. I think it looks pretty cool. I mean, concept art, you kind of always got a... There's always, I would say, like a deviation of like 20 to 30% with the suit. You know, you'll either see more detail or usually less detail when it comes to the movie. But I think it looks pretty rad.
Yeah, it does. I'm going to post this in our show notes, actually. How's that sound, Mike?
That sounds good.
So people can see this. But I think Chadwick Boseman, Black Panther, coming in Phase 3, going to be debuted during Civil War. So we'll see it next year. We're going to get the Black Panther we deserve.
Yeah, I believe you were telling me earlier that this got taken down from Instagram pretty quickly.
It did. The concept artist who worked on other concept art for Marvel posted it, I think just not knowing what they were doing. And it was taken off Instagram pretty quick. It's two pictures kind of stitched together.
Yeah, two squares.
So take a look at it. Grain of salt, but it matches the official Marvel one they released. So I'm feeling pretty confident.
Yeah, so it looks pretty cool. Yeah, I want to see Black Panther scratch some people up. That's going to be the coolest scratching you ever see in a movie.
Best campfire ever. Next up, we're going to cover some rumors. I don't think we'll do rumors a lot.
Yeah, well, when they come up, we'll talk about
them. When they're
big. Yeah.
Then this is a big one. This is something Mike laid on me, what, Friday?
Oh, yeah.
I had no idea.
Yeah, I was at lunch. We were waiting for our food to come out. I had my phone out. I was just scrolling through Facebook, and bam, right there, a picture of a link, and it says, Netflix creating a Legend of Zelda live-action series. And I just couldn't believe it. I was just like, no freaking way. So I looked into it. I read a little bit. It sounds like they're trying to... the only thing that's actually been said is that they're basically saying Game of Thrones for a younger audience, which everyone who reads that is going to be like, that makes no sense. The essence of Game of Thrones is that it is for an old audience. So I don't know what they're trying to reach at there. I would think maybe they're just trying to connect the popularity of Game of Thrones with the name of Zelda to create buzz. So I think that whole phrase is just totally pointless, and we should just throw that out and not even concentrate about it. But as far as I know, Netflix hasn't confirmed anything yet.
They officially said no comment, or they didn't say any comment.
Yeah.
Nintendo said, we don't comment on rumors or speculation.
Yeah. It sounds like whatever's true, they're still looking for a writer, so it's still very early development. I mean, I'm totally on board with this, just because I kind of have this... I have a little bit of a grudge against the Legend of Zelda series. I think Nintendo and Zelda, they... You know, I don't want to say they don't refuse to innovate, but I mean, Zelda has just been the same in like every series. I mean, it's always dungeon crawling. It's always like picking up items and stuff. And it's just, I understand that it's like Nintendo, but it's just like, get some voice actors in your game. I know I'm going to be enraging a lot of Zelda fans out there, but I really don't care because I'm not a diehard Zelda fan. I've played a couple games through completion and they've been fun, but it always feels like I'm playing the exact same game, just with a little better graphics every couple years. So I'm excited to get a Link that talks. I want it to see some really cool action. I'm a little bit worried because sometimes I forget how Japanese Nintendo can be. You get really used to these North American video game companies and just how they how their PR works and how they interact with their consumers, and then something like E3 will roll around and Nintendo doesn't show up anymore, and they do these really weird Nintendo live stream events, and they're always really bizarre and they feel totally weird to me. It's just probably a cultural thing. I'm sure people in Japan are totally used to the way Nintendo markets their stuff. But the only thing that makes me weird is, how does a Japanese video game studio, try to transition into what seems like they're going for an American TV series? I would assume that it's not going to be dubbed or subbed. It's going to be English.
Well, I think with Netflix doing this, it will be American made. So I don't think we'll have to worry about that too much.
Yeah, but I mean, Nintendo's always been pretty precious about their properties, so I was pretty surprised to see that they were going to make a TV series about it. You think they would have learned their lesson from Mario, the Mario Brothers movie, but maybe they think that Legend of Zelda can translate a little bit better.
Well, there is a new Zelda game coming out for Wii U later this year.
Yeah, and I saw the trailer. It does look pretty good, but I still feel like it's going to just be dungeon crawling like it always is.
Yeah, and I have a Wii U. I skipped the Wii generation, and I haven't really done a lot of Nintendo since the original one.
Mm-hmm.
But I will say that Mario from Wii to Wii U, drastic difference in gameplay. Made me love the game,
mm-hmm.
actually. So I feel like they're learning. They're evolving. So I'm not a Zelda fan either. I can't. Speak opposite of you on this one, but I don't have as much hesitation because I just don't care.
Yeah, well, I think this ties into the talk we had about video game movies a couple episodes ago. I'm excited for video game adaptations, whether it's movies or TVs. I want to see these things start to take off. because I think they're cool. So yeah, I think that's going to be the next wave after superheroes. It's going to be video games.
Yeah, and our last rumor for the day is something a little. I don't have a lot of detail on this. It's saying that Angelina Jolie is wanted by Marvel to do Captain Marvel. She's going to be the director, and because of her work with Unbroken, which came out recently. It's through some of the Sony leaks, apparently Sony does not like Angelina Jolie. They weren't happy with this.
Well, it seems like from the Sony leaks, they don't like just about anybody.
Yeah, I don't think there was a good thing out of that. Marvel's looking at her to do Captain Marvel, which would be kind of cool if she did.
I haven't seen anything she's directed, but I hear that they've been, you know, they've been good movies, I believe. I don't think I can say much on this because I haven't seen anything she's directed.
The other thing I've heard is people want Joss Whedon for Captain Marvel. That would give him something to play around in, different than Avengers. He'd get a kind of credit. And I can go either way on this. Mm-hmm. If I had to choose between the two, Angelina Jolie will bring the gravitas that, you know, Marvel, a lot of Marvel movies don't have.
Mm-hmm.
But Whedon knows comic book characters.
Yeah.
So I go either way.
Yeah. It'd be cool. It's kind of in Marvel we trust at this point until they do something bad. So
And even at their worst, they're still not bad.
Yeah. So I think we'll be okay.
Cool. That's really all the news and rumors we have for today. We got a couple minutes here. We've had, by popular demand, people want us to know what steams our broccoli.
Yeah, people want to know. People want to know. The constituents, as you said, want to know what's making us angry.
Yeah, that's right, and we work for the people. We work for the people.
Yeah, so as we close down the show, tell me what is steaming your broccoli.
I tell you what steams my broccoli, and this comes up about once a week.
Okay.
Clickbait websites.
I believe you've touched on this a little bit through the show, so just get it all out.
Yeah, so last week we kind of touched about it a little bit where I was talking to, we kept saying superhero hype because we're stupid. So if that's any indication, you probably shouldn't listen to our podcast because we're stupid. The clickbait websites come in two ways. They come up with falsified information, such as, let's see, here's one. Bleedingcool.com. I don't know if you've heard of it.
I've heard of it.
They're like my nemesis when it comes to like when I work on comic UI. Like I strive to not be bleeding cool. Like one of their articles, and finally, Dean Haspiel says his Wolverine is gayer than Asad Ribic's. What? why does Wolverine have to be gay? Like, when what did this happen? Things like that. Is Marvel killing readership on their own titles? Like, And then it goes to talk about whatever, like, oh, they're canceling one series, so they must be wanting to alienate their fans, right? There's just so many, like, clickbait websites that, like, pose a question, then deliver rumors or gossips or theory.
Yeah, just zero content that is official.
Zero fact, zero sources. And then I don't know, like, what to do. Like, I just get so mad, I'm like, I can't go to you ever again.
Yeah, I think that's just the sad state of the internet where, you know, it's the drama or the bad news, you know, that is really going to get clicks. I was talking to my parents just the other week, and they were talking about the snowstorm that they were supposed to be getting in town. And then the snowstorm never came, but the local news made sure to cover this snowstorm that never came for hours upon hours upon hours. Like there was a storm that was supposed to be coming, and they had like the blizzard warnings up like 3 days before the storm even hit. And it's just like they're just drumming up some drama, just like Bleeding Cool might be doing.
Yeah, it's just there's a lot on there. It upsets me because then like people come like, oh, have you heard this information? Like, yes, I've heard it, but it's not real.
Yeah.
And then like we go to Superhero Hype, where is another website. This and Yahoo News, they're delayed. Like, I don't know if there's some sort of process where they submit an article. It has to go through editorial and somebody else and then somebody else. But it takes like 4 days to get news on websites. And people who use these other websites and not mine, I'm not saying they should go to mine, but like get better news. Because, like, it's, like, Friday, and everyone's like, oh, did you see this Daredevil trailer just came out today? I'm like, really? Like,
well,
it's Friday.
I'll give him the benefit of the doubt. You know, I'll let it steam your broccoli.
Yeah.
But I would rather it come out later than come out super early and just be totally factually inaccurate.
There is a fine line, and I think I'm more upset with the clickbait than the delayed news. But
yeah, I think your Jimmies just get rustled,
and they all get rustled, and all the websites just piss me off, and I'm like, I'm done
with it. Yeah. So I mean, I think that's just something that you're gonna have to learn to deal with, because I don't think it's going anywhere, unfortunately.
I think my hate towards clickbait just rolled into that, because sometimes you'll see I fell for this one on accident. Like, Aaron Paul was cast for Doctor Strange.
Oh, yeah. I think we all fell for that
one. Yeah, and I was like, okay, this looks cool. And then I'm like, this is definitely not legit, a day later. And then I just kind of, like, shook my head in shame and moved on. But
yeah,
this was steaming my broccoli.
Yeah, I think that, you know, I think if your broccoli is getting steamed, there's not much you can do about it, unfortunately. But you can come on this show and we can just talk it out.
We just let it out.
Yeah.
Let's steam in your broccoli, Mike.
All right. I'm going to tell you what's really, really steaming my broccoli.
Uh-oh.
So, we talked about that Adam suit earlier, right?
Uh-huh.
Now, so that Adam suit was released on Facebook, on the internet, through official means of the CW. I want to say on Monday or Tuesday. Arrow airs on Wednesday. You know, first of all, you would expect to see this suit in the next coming up episode. I watched that entire episode. We don't get a single bit of that Adam suit. They are totally just burying it. They're burying the lead. So, first of all, that makes me angry. Second of all, why the hell do we need to see this suit already? I mean, come on. I already talked about maybe an episode or two ago. I believe we were talking about Beauty and the Beast, where I say I really like to see how they turn characters from, you know, pages or a book into, or a comic or a cartoon into, like, a real life being. So I'm always looking forward to, like, oh, how are they going to CGI the Beast? How are they going to look? Is, you know, and that's what I want to see revealed. That's the exciting part to me. I don't want to see the Adam suit revealed on Facebook at all, ever. Let that reveal happen in the TV show, because they're going to reveal it. It's not going to be like, oh, there he is in the suit. You know, they're going to do some sort of, like, crazy, like, camera move where they pan around him to reveal him, or he's going to pop up out of nowhere to save somebody and he's going to be in that badass suit doing something cool. Don't blow your load on Facebook. I mean, there's no way around it. There's nothing I can do, because I unfollowed the CW's feeds for The Flash and Arrow, because they're horrible with these spoilers. But there's nothing I can do when they're officially releasing this stuff, because if I like other people's stuff, like other people's, like, news websites, they're gonna post it, and I'm not mad at those people, because they're posting legitimate news that has been officially released. My problem is with CW. They don't need to be blowing their load. They obviously don't think people care, so they're just posting it out there, and they want to drum up some excitement to get people to watch the show. But I don't like it. I want to see the reveal on the show. Why is it so hard to ask for? They did this. They did the same thing for Arrow. And they did the same thing with Flash. So in Flash, they revealed what Reverse Flash was going to look like before we even got to see him in full still motion, where he wasn't, like, vibrating, so he's just blurry the whole time. And they also revealed who the next Black Canary was going to be. I mean, obviously, if you read the comic books, you know who Black Canary is supposed to be, but it's just like, just let us for a second imagine that it could be something different.
Now, let me pose a question to you, because I totally get where you're coming from.
Yeah.
Now, what if, say, CW didn't release the Adam suit, right?
Uh-huh.
Say someone, like, maybe my website, ComicQ, I found it and said, we're revealing this before CW shows it on air. Does that bother you?
This is why it wouldn't bother me. Because, okay. Because if someone found it and it was supposed to be, like, something dug up or something leaked, that stuff always has spoilers in front of it. People are going to go, this wasn't supposed to come out yet. This is revealing what the suit comes like. So at least the featured image or the thumbnail that shows up in my newsfeed is only going to be a small section of the suit. Maybe it's just going to be a silhouette. Maybe it's just going to be a corner shoulder pad and there's going to be spoilers labeled on it and I won't click it. But that's the thing. When the CW officially releases it, they're just like, nope, you can go ahead and look at this all you want for the next 2 to 3 weeks until the next episode comes out for this. We want you to look at it. You know, it's a shame. I don't want this stuff to be spoiled, but I can't avoid it. I can't avoid the way the CW is pushing out their PR stuff.
No, maybe they should hire the fans in to run their website.
Yeah. Yeah. And I feel really, really horrible because I complain every single time they post this stuff on Facebook, but it's always white noise, and then there's always some idiot who replies to me that just says like, oh well, why did you look at it? And then I'm arguing with an idiot saying I can't not look at it. Shows up in my newsfeed, and then they say something stupid like, oh, you should have known what it was gonna look like. And then I'm arguing with a dumb person, and it just makes me dumber. And that's what's steaming my broccoli.
Yeah, take a breath. Let the steam off. Let the broccoli cool.
It's just awful.
Yeah, a little passion. That's all right. You're passionate about your characters. You're passionate about your shows. And that's what keeps them going.
Don't reveal this stuff too soon. That's all I'm asking.
Yes. That's all. And if you do, put spoilers first.
Yeah. Spoiler tag. Jesus. Yeah. All right. Well, I think that's been
enough for a day.
Yeah. I think this is a good way to end the show. How can people follow you, Chris?
You can find me, Chris Dillard, on Twitter at Valdan, VALDAN. Mm-hmm. You can also look up the news on comicui.com, where you mm-hmm. can watch the Daredevil trailer if you missed it already. Mm-hmm. And also, you can find me on nerdtraffic.com, which I also write for. So those are my three things. Where can people get you, Mike?
Well, they can follow me on Twitter. They can follow me on Instagram at Mike Royer Design. You can go to pickledcomics.com, read a couple comics I've made. I'm a little behind on that, but I got some stuff in the sketchbook ready to go. But most important of all, you guys can go to superheroslate.com, and you can find all of our subscription links. You can find the link to our Facebook page, you know, our YouTube page where we put up the podcast in video form for your subscription needs over on YouTube. And our show notes. If you looked at the show notes last week, you got an in-depth look at the history of the Ecto Cooler, which I thought was really cool.
Yeah, definitely. I think show notes going forward are going to be a big part of us because, you know, we're looking at things that you guys can't see. Mm-hmm. So we kind of share that with people. But also, don't forget, if you want us to cover something or talk about something or just want to let us know something, let us know on Twitter, on superheroslate.com, on Facebook, on YouTube. We also have an email, you know, superheroslate@gmail.com. Mm-hmm. Let us know what you want from us, and we will let you, our constituents,
yes,
have what you want.
Yes, the constituents.
So that's it for me today.
Yeah, it's that was a great show.
Been a hell of a week.
All right, yeah. Yeah, I'll talk to you next week, man.
Yeah, we'll see you guys.
All right, later.
Bye.
Thanks for listening, and don't forget to subscribe!